What I like to do very often, I'm going to do, is I want to back up to verse 1. Now, I'm not going to read all the way to verse 11, but the first three verses set the context for what we're going to look at beginning in verse 11. So go back to verse 1 of chapter 15. It says, "Then drew near unto him," that is Jesus, "all the publicans and sinners." Let me just say, the publicans are tax collectors, hated and despised by the Jewish people. And sinners were just run-of-the-mill wicked people. They came to hear Jesus, verse 1. Notice verse 2. "The Pharisees and the scribes," which were the religious Jews, "they murmured, saying that this man," that is Jesus, "receives sinners and eats with them. So he spake this parable unto them, saying," technically he spoke these parables unto them, saying, and he gave three parables. The first one was the parable of the lost sheep. Remember that? We saw that last Sunday in verses 4-7. A shepherd had 100 sheep, and as he's putting them in the fold at night, he's counting them going through the gate, and he realized there was one missing. Now again, if I were the shepherd, I'd say, "Too bad, good riddance, you stupid sheep. Should have stayed with the group. You know, you made your bed, lie in it," whatever. But not the shepherd. He loved the sheep. He valued the sheep. And so he left the 99, remember that? And he went into the wilderness, and he searched out and found that one lost sheep. He put it on his shoulders, came back rejoicing, and he asked those of his friends, "Come rejoice with me, let's party, because my sheep which was lost has been found." This was directed toward the attitude and the murmuring of the Pharisees and the scribe. They murmured against Jesus. They should have been rejoicing that sinners were coming to Christ. And then he gave a second parable we saw again last week in verses 8 and 9 and 10, which is the parable of the lost coin. A woman had 10 silver coins, probably jewelry she wore on her forehead or a necklace around her neck. One of the coins fell off the necklace and was lost in this house. So she lit a lamp, she got a broom, she swept diligently, she searched again. So the sheep is lost, shepherd seeks and finds. The coin is lost, the woman seeks and finds. She found her one lost coin. It would have been easy to just say, just one out of nine, one out of 10, no big, I got 9 left, and just let it go. But no, she went after that one lost coin. This is the heart of God. This is a revelation of the Father. He loves, he seeks unsaved people, and he wants to bring them to himself. You know, A.W. Tozer said in his wonderful book, The Knowledge of the Holy, he said, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." I love that. And I think the reason why it's the most important thing about us is because many of life's greatest problems are solved when we think right about God. It's so important that we think right about God. And if ever there was a revelation of God in the Bible, it's Luke chapter 15, where we have that God loves, God seeks, God restores, God forgives those who are sinful. And when they turn to him and they come to him. So now we come to our third parable, the lost son and the loving father. So there's actually two sons. We get the first one, the younger one today, and the older one next Sunday. But the parable is not about the son or the sons. The parable is about the father. About 9 different times in our text, you read the word father. And it's all about God and God's heart for the lost, loving those who have gone away from him and welcoming them back and forgiving them. Now, if you're taking notes, there's 3 outlines, 3 points in my outline that I want to cover with you today. The first is the son rebelling, verses 11 to 16. The son rebelling. Let's read it. He said, "A certain man had 2 sons. The younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living." Notice the first words out of this younger son's mouth, "Give me." And the father gave him his inheritance. And not many days after, verse 13, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance. That's where we get the word prodigal, wasted his substance on riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed pigs or swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, but no man gave unto him. Now go back to verse 11. We see here, first of all, the leaving the father's house. Now a certain man had two sons. So we go from 100 sheep, one gets lost and found, to 9 or 10 coins, one is lost and is found, to two sons, but this time they are both lost. You have the younger son, which commits sins of the flesh. You have the older son, which commits sins of the spirit, which are attitude sins. You know, you can sin in attitude or action. Your heart cannot be right with God. You might look good on the outside, but your heart is in rebellion to God. But the focus here is on the younger two sons. So three characters involved in the parable. There's a certain man, which is representing God the Father. He's the Father in the parable. And then the two sons, the younger and the older son. Now the younger of them said to his father, verse 12, "Father, give me." Now make a note of that. This is where it all started. I want what I want. Give me. He worshiped the unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I. Give me what I want. Selfishness is the root cause of all sin. I don't care about God, the parable's father. I don't care about my brother. I don't care about anyone else. I want what I want, and I want it now. Give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And the father gave in. He divided unto them, both the younger and older son, his living. Now, this is how the inheritance would work in biblical days. The older son got twice as much as the younger son or sons. So it was split into thirds. The younger son got one-third. The older son got two-thirds. But in the parable, he actually distributes it both to both sons. Now, this is a very harsh thing this younger son did. His dad was not yet dead, and yet he didn't want to wait till his dad died because I want my inheritance right now. I want to cut off all ties. I want to cut off all relationship. I want you to give me my living, my portion, my inheritance, and I'm going to split this town. I'm going to go someplace really fun. I'm going to have a good time, and I'm going to be free from parental control. Now, it's believed that this younger son was maybe in his late teens. Scripture doesn't indicate he was married, and they married at a young age in those days, anywhere from 18 to 23. So he's probably just maybe 16, 17 years old, but he wants his inheritance. He wants to party. So he asked the father. Now, the father could do that, but only as he would decide to do that, not when he was pressured by the boy. So it was a real breach of etiquette and a very hurtful thing that the boy did, asking his father to give him his inheritance. It was as though he was saying, I want you dead so that I can have my money and I can leave. And then it says, not many days after, the younger son, the phrase there, gathered all together, means he liquidated all of his inheritance. So all the property that he inherited, the one-third, he sold. He took all of his money, and it says that he wasted his substance and he gathered it together, verse 13, took his journey into a far country, and he wasted his substance on riotous living. So leaving the father's house and living in the far country. Now, I don't know what country he split to, but he wanted to go as far as he could away from the father. Now, number one, selfishness. Number two, he was hurtful to his father. And number three, he wanted to go somewhere else. He thought, if I can just get out of town, I'll be happy. I grew up in San Bernardino. Ever been to San Bernardino? All I wanted to do was get out of San Bernardino. Can you blame me? And then the Lord saves me and makes me a pastor, and I'm there for 39 years pastoring a church in San Bernardino. The Lord has a real sense of humor, doesn't he? So all he wanted to do is just get his money and go have a good time. I'm going to party hardy. I'm going to live it up. I'm going to have a blast. Jesus said, if you try to find your life, what'll happen? You'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel, you will find it. I remember when I was young, I wanted to have a good time, wanted to party, wanted to hang with my friends, do what I wanted to do. But I didn't want to give my life to Jesus Christ. But it's in giving your life to Christ that you find life. It's in living for self that you actually lose life. So selfishness entered into the picture. And then he wasted his substance on riotous living, living in the far country. And then when he spent it all, now he had lots of friends until his money was gone. When he spent it all, verse 14, there arose a mighty famine in the land. Now, he had no control over that, and it wasn't really his fault, but he was being very foolish and wasteful. And then the famine came and added to his problems. Notice verse 14. He began to be in want. He was needy. So he was hungry, he was homeless, he was hurting, he was friendless. Put that alongside Psalm 23, verse 1. The psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Want. You know what that means? It means when the Lord is your shepherd, you have everything that you need in life, in death, and in eternity. If the Lord is not your shepherd, then you're like a sheep without a shepherd, and you're just wandering around aimlessly, empty. So when the Lord is your shepherd, you have everything that you need. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you, the Bible says, the desires of your heart. So he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself, verse 15. This guy's going to hit rock bottom. To a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Now what could be lower than feeding pigs for a Jewish boy? Nothing. This is like the lowest of the low. He's destitute. He's alone. He's homeless. He's hungry. He's got his raggedy old clothes. He probably stinks like a pig. And he's in the pig pen. And so he went and joined himself to the citizen feeding the pigs. And he would have loved to even eat the pig food, but the husks that the pigs did eat, but no man gave to him. Even the pigs wouldn't share with him. That's because they're pigs. They don't share. So he's empty. He's lonely. He's right. This is where sin leads. Sin leads to sadness. Holiness leads to happiness. You rebel against God, your maker, God, your creator, the one who designed you to have fellowship with him, your life will be empty. Amen. You surrender to God. You get your life lined up with God, you'll find purpose and fulfillment. Now, the second division is in verse 17 to 20, and we see the son repenting. So first, the son rebelling. Secondly, we see the son repenting, verse 17 down to verse 20. Follow with me. Now, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise. Now he's just thinking out loud in the pig pen. I'm going to arise. I'm going to go back to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thine hired servants. And so he rose up and came to his father. This is the son repenting. Now, I want you to note something. Number one says that he came to himself, so he saw his true condition. I've always loved this because I believe that God in his grace, God in his mercy, comes to us in our sinful, insane condition, and he brings us to our senses. That's what it means when it says he came to himself. It means that he came to his senses. You know, sin is insanity. Read Romans chapter 1, those people that reject God and they end up with reprobate minds. That means a mind that cannot work. If you reject the truth in God, you'll just believe a lie. So the insanity of a sinful lifestyle. But this man came to himself. It is a blessing. It is a grace. It is a gift from God when he opens our eyes to our need of him. When he brings us to the reality of our true condition, he saw his true condition. He came to himself. And then secondly, he made an honest confession. Look at verse 18. He said, I will arise and go to my father and say to him, what is he going to say? I have what? Sin. That's the best thing you can do. Admit you are a sinner. That you have fallen short of the standards of God's law. That you have all sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I have sinned. Three words, some of the most important you could ever utter. And notice who he sinned against. Heaven and before thee, referring to his father. Sin is first of all and most importantly against God. Sin is against God. We have broken God's standards. We have violated God's laws. And then secondly, sin can be against people. And I've sinned against you, Father. When David sinned against Bathsheba and he committed adultery and murdered her husband, he wrote in Psalm 51 after he was exposed by Nathan the prophet, he said, against thee, O God, and thee only have I sinned and done this great evil in your sight. The Bible says that repentance is seeing yourself as a sinner before a holy, righteous God. Godly sorrow that leads to repentance. So he said, I have sinned. And then thirdly, he felt his unworthiness, his brokenness. Verse 19, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just allow me to become one of thy hired servants. That hired servant was actually a day laborer. I'm not asking to be a slave. I'm not asking to be a son. I just want to be a servant. Just give me a job so that I can feed myself. And then number four, he arose, verse 20, and came to his father. So he saw his true condition, verse 17. He made an honest confession, verse 18. He had a humble admission, verse 19. I'm not worthy. And then fourthly, verse 20, he had true repentance. He came to his father. You know what repentance is? It's a Greek word, metanoia. You know what it means? Change your mind. It literally means to change your mind. What do you change your mind about? That I'm a sinner, that Jesus is the Savior, that I need to turn from my sin and seek God and ask for his forgiveness. You change your mind about the way you're living, the things you're doing, your attitude. You admit you're a sinner, but it involves a turning around. So you do 180. If I'm going this way, I turn and I go the other way. That's repentance. Some of you here this morning that need to come to your senses. You need to be humbled and admit you've sinned. You need to come with brokenness and godly sorrow and true repentance. In Romans 2, verse 4, it says, the goodness of God is meant to lead you to repentance. He said, how many hired servants have my father with bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? So he brings him back to the goodness of God. He wants to repent. Now, if you're here this morning and you're far from God, I pray that God grant you repentance, that you change your mind and you turn around and you pursue the Lord. Now, there's a third and last section, verse 20, the end of verse 20 to verse 24. This is the Father forgiving and the Father restoring. The Father forgiving and the Father restoring. Look at it with me. It says, when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. So the son is on his way back to the father's house, and the father saw him, verse 20, and had compassion on him, ran to him, fell on his son's neck, and began kissing him. The word is passionately and repeatedly kissing him. And the son said to him, Father, this is the message he was going to give when he got there. I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm not worthy to be called thy son. And the father stopped him right there. Notice that he didn't get finished with his little spiel where he was going to say, can I just be one of your hired servants? He didn't even get, father stopped him. And the son probably realized, hey, he's already forgiven me, obviously, because he's hugging me and kissing me. Father stopped him and said unto his servants, he says, bring the best robe, verse 22, and put it on him. He was still covered with pigsty and mud and smelled like a pig. Put this beautiful robe on him and put a ring on his hand, verse 22. Shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. Let's have a party. Why? For this my son was dead, verse 24, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Back in verse 14, it said he began to be in want. Now they began to be merry. Now remember when the sheep was found? They celebrated. Remember when the coin was found? They celebrated. Now when the younger son is lost, is found, is dead, is alive, what do? They celebrate, except for the older brother. And we'll see that next week. So they're all having a great big party. They're having a big celebration. Now, I want you to know the father, what he does. Look at verse 20. It says he first saw him. You know that God sees you? You know that God knows you? You know that God knows your thoughts? He knows your heart? He knows what you think before you even think it? God is looking for you. God is longing for you. God is desiring you to come to him. The father saw the son before the son saw the father. And it says he was a great way off when he saw him. I wonder how far off he was. One of the things I want to ask the Lord when we get to heaven is how far in your story was the son when the father saw him and recognized him? Great way off. The father yearning and longing for him. He saw him. And then secondly, he had compassion. You would think the father would be angry. You think the father would want to punish his son. You think the father would want to reject the son. You think at least he would put him on curfew for a while. He would put him on probation. But he saw him. He had compassion. This is a picture of the heart of God the Father. God loves and has compassion for the lost sinner. And then God began to run. Now, for a man to run in that culture and time was unheard of. It was undignified. No adult male would ever run. They had robes, and it was difficult to run, but it was considered undignified. But he throws that off his dignity, and he begins to run out to his son. And he says to him, put a robe, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. Now, the robe would be a beautiful celebration robe, wore only at the most lavish occasion. And then the ring would actually probably be the family signet ring, indicating that he was fully restored as a son and could do business for the family. And then the shoes on his feet indicate that he's a son, he's no longer poor. Poor people didn't have shoes. Sons has shoes. There's an old black spiritual the slaves used to sing. All God's children got shoes. I love that. Amen? So we belong to the Father. He puts shoes on his feet. How marvelous that. And then he kills the fatted calf. Fourthly, verse 23. This is a rare thing. They would fatten up a calf for special occasions. The Father throws this great big party. And my favorite is in verse 20, it says the Father kissed him, fell on his neck and kissed him. Actually just collapsed on his neck and started smothering him with kisses. Now, parables are windows in which we can look through and see God. This Father's response to the Son's repentance is the heart of God the Father. Jesus said, anyone who comes to me, I will in no way cast out. You know, sometimes people think they have to clean up their life to come to God. Once you trust Jesus, no, I'm not good enough. I'm a wicked sinner. That's what it's supposed to be. You're supposed to come with all your sin. The Father didn't say, clean up your life, then you can come home. You come just the way you are, and he cleans us up and makes us fit for heaven. Amen? He didn't put any stipulations or terms on the Son. He accepted him just the way he was and forgave him and reinstated him as a son and brought him into his family. Everything the younger son was looking for was found back at the Father's house. Everything you're looking for is found with the Father, whose arms are open wide, who loves you, who longs for you to come back. He will kiss you and embrace you, clothe you, and accept you and forgive you back into his family if you'll just turn back to him today. Or you can live in the far country, empty, alone, and missing out on all the joys of having sins forgiven. You know, this is not only a window which we see the heart of God, but it is a mirror and we can see ourselves. Perhaps you can see yourself in this prodigal son. I was raised in a Christian home. And when I was 8 years old, I walked down an aisle in a church and I prayed and asked Jesus to come into my heart. And I felt I'd been changed. I went out of church that night and the stars were brighter and I felt lighter. I knew God had touched my life and changed me, but it wasn't too many years down the road from that, got into what's called middle school today or junior high and got into high school, got into a crowd of guys that were doing things that were illegal and wrong and got arrested, got thrown in juvenile hall. Your pastor's an ex-con. I spent one night in juvenile hall, and it caused me to turn back to God. I was with two other guys, and they were in the cell together across from me. They were goofing off and having fun, and God put me alone in my own cell that night. I lay on that bed and I cried out to God. I asked him to forgive me. I said, I will go back to my Father's house. It was just before my senior year of high school when I was going to graduate. And so I turned back to the Lord. But I'm so thankful for that time and that God loved me and that God pursued me and that God allowed me to hit rock bottom and to be able to look up and say, God, I need you. God, I'm sorry. God, please forgive me. And I came to my senses, thank God, because of his grace. And I turned back to God and he forgave my sins. What a blessing it's been to walk with God these many years and to serve the Lord. Maybe you have a similar story, but maybe you're still far from God. Maybe you've wandered way, way far from God. If you feel far from God, God hasn't moved. God hasn't gone anywhere. God still loves you and longs for fellowship with you. But you must admit that you're a sinner. You must return to the Father. You must receive his gift of eternal life. Three simple steps. Number one, realize I'm a sinner. Number two, repent, change your mind, turn from your sin. And number three, receive Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior. Amen.
If God has spoken to you through this message today and you're not sure that you're a child of God, maybe you don't know for sure that if you died today that you would go to heaven, you've never really trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I would like to lead you in a prayer right now, inviting Christ to come into your heart and to be your Savior. So as I pray this prayer, I want you to repeat it out loud, right where you are, after me. Make it from your heart, inviting Christ to come in and be your Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I pray that you'll forgive me and come into my heart and make me your child. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live for you all the days of my life. I believe in you. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, God heard that prayer, and I believe that God will and does forgive your sins. We'd like to help you get started growing in your walk and relationship with Jesus Christ. God bless you.
If you just prayed with Pastor John to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we are so excited for you. And we'd like to send you a Bible and some resources to get you started in your relationship with the Lord. Simply click on the contact link at the top of the page. And tell us something like, I prayed to accept Christ. We'll get your Bible and resources mailed out to you right away. God bless you and welcome to the family of God.